Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You're listening to 100 Words or Less with Ray Harkins.
Hello, one. Hello, all. Welcome to another episode of just absolute nerd talk about punk, hardcore, metal, emo, whatever it is you want to call it. I like to call it DIY, you know? Music played in small, sweaty rooms, or maybe even like slightly larger sweaty rooms. Because, I'll be honest, hardcore and punk is like the most popular it ever has been in my lifetime. And so, you know, there's that element of like, as it grows, are we, you know, still maintaining the same sort of, you know, ethics and values and all of those things that we hold so dear? I think the resounding answer that we, at least I feel currently, is that yes, bands are being authentic to themselves. And hold on for a moment. Let's talk about the guest this week, and then I'll pontificate a little bit more. But the guest this week, I am thrilled to have Lexi Rheingaut, who I am absolutely almost positive mispronouncing her last name, but I did it in her interview and she confirmed it. And then, I just am dumb and that left my brain. But regardless, Lexi is the vocalist for an amazing Buffalo hardcore band called Spaced. And they're releasing a record, they have a full length prior to this. Oh my gosh. Anyways, it's their debut for Revelation Records called This Is All We Ever Get. It comes out on March 22nd. I've heard it. It is really, really, really good. And so you can go to revhq.com, pre-ordered it. They got some sweet RevHQ exclusive color vinyl for those of you that are vinyl heads. I know I have mine on pre-order, so there we go. But Lexi was a great chat, and Spaced is a very interesting band because, you know, definitely a punk and hardcore band, but Lexi, you know, her own experience with punk and hardcore is like, you know, homegrown in her backyard, getting exposed every time I die. And like, I want to say she said like 2015, 2016. But yeah, it's really interesting to talk to people who are obviously much younger than me and have that experience of being like, oh yeah, I just like randomly tripped across this because a friend took me to a show or whatever. And, you know, it's very similar to many of our old head experiences as well, where it's like you just randomly see a CD or a record in a store and then all of a sudden Pandora's box just opens up to you, where, you know, I'll never forget. I mean, after, you know, definitely going through my Epiphat, you know, punk and hardcore phase, getting the first Victory Style compilation at, I want to say Top 10 Records in Tustin, California, long since out of business. But I remember that comp being on their front counter I think it was $5. I definitely had $5. Didn't have enough money to buy any sort of full lengths or anything else, even though I was, you know, totally eyeballing that, No Use for a Name, Legend Con Carne full length. I was like, you know what? I can afford this. I can't afford the other things. And then from there, game over, you know, getting into Dead Guy, Snapcase, Earth Crisis, Guilt, just Strife. I mean, the list goes on. But anyways, let's talk about how you can get in touch with the show. You can email me at 100wordspodcast@gmail.com. I love to hear feedback, and, you know, I've been getting a lot of interesting submissions in regards to, you know, people being like, oh, here's a new record and, you know, check it out and that sort of stuff. So always love to have that correspondence with you, the human being who is on the other side of the speaker, because, you know, it's a weird relationship. Like, sometimes some of you have hung out with me for hours and hours and hours, and, you know, we've never corresponded. So, you know, you can change that just by emailing the show. And if you want to support the show for $0, and will take you maybe 30 seconds at the most, you can leave a rating and review on the Apple Podcast page, or you can leave a rating on the Spotify page if you listen to podcasts that way. I also publish all these episodes to YouTube. I will put a link in the show notes. That way you can follow along and subscribe and, you know, be updated with everything that is happening with the show on that side of things if you only listen to podcasts via YouTube, which some people do. So just want to make sure that I'm delivering the content where it needs to be. And so let me talk about the popularity of punk and hardcore. I was having a discussion. I went to go see Further Seems Forever and The Movie Life and Fairweather Chain Reaction recently. Amazing show, by the way. I freaking love Further Seems Forever. I mean, Movie Life's great as well, and Fairweather was really good. I actually forgot they had three guitarists, and then I saw them. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, last time I saw them was like 2002, maybe? I don't know, forever ago. But I was having a discussion with a friend out in the parking lot, and, you know, we were talking about how interesting it is to, you know, watch hardcore be as popular as it is, you know, from Ceremony selling out the Hollywood Palladium of, you know, 3,700 people or something like that, which is crazy. And I mean, it's amazing because Ceremony is not only an incredible band, but, you know, they're celebrating their record Roner Park. And I mean, just so, so happy for them. And it's just, it's crazy because you watch this and then there are clearly people who this may have been like the first punk or hardcore show for them, which is amazing. And it's just like getting to experience the largesse of punk and hardcore at that level is, you know, pretty special and incredible. But you definitely want to, you know, retain as much of the small room energy as you possibly can that will get people who, you know, want to start a band, start a fanzine, you know, take photos, whatever it is that you want to do to participate in this scene. You know, I think that's the only way that this thing continues to grow. And, you know, hopefully that we just continue to, you know, stay vigilant, so to speak, and not let this thing be so overly commoditized to where, you know, the pro-core element, which is a word that, you know, most people don't use these days, but, you know, us old people use it. It's like, you really want to enjoy playing in a band. And I think sometimes there is that element of just like, okay, this is like what I should do because this is what either my friends are doing or this is what, you know, is kind of expected of me if I do get into this stuff. And that's great. Like, you know, if there is that element of peer pressure for you to play in a band, like that's awesome. But, you know, ultimately just really pay attention to the pure intentions of why you're doing what you're doing. So anyways, that's just old man on the porch talk here. So I apologize for that. But anyways, let's talk to Lexi. Like I said, Spaced has a new record that is coming on March 22nd on Revelation Records. And she was a great chat. Got to nerd out about Buffalo and how weird of a town it is, but then also how incredible it is. And everything about her and Spaced. So here we go. Actually, wait. Oh my gosh. I was almost forgetting. The weekly recommendations. I apologize. Let's talk about this week's recommendation. I will put a link in the show notes to all of the records and EPs and things that I've mentioned in previous episodes. I basically just wanted to kind of keep the, you know, new music flowing, so to speak, and make sure that you are abreast of anything that I'm just randomly tripping across, because that is why we're here, to expose you to new bands and new music. So randomly tripped across this band called Jillian Carter. I had seen their name out there, never really paid too close attention to their music. And then their record, Salvation Through Misery, came out in 2022. I listened to it and just immediately became captivated with it. It has all of the elements of, you know, really like a majority rule, screamo, like definitely that, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, definitely some Neil Perry involved in there. But they have one song in particular on the record. It's called Watching a Friend Die. It is the last song on the record. I played that one on repeat for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. It's only like a 2.5 minute song, so you can see where I'm going with this. But I love this band. And so if you're a fan of any of that sort of, you know, loud, melodic, screamo-ish stuff, you need to listen to Jillian Carter. I love them so much. So anyways, check that out. And like I said, I will link in the show notes a running playlist of all the recommendations for the year. So anyways, now let's talk to Lexi from Space. Our mutual friend, Mr. Nick Acosta from New Morality Zine. I always say mortality, even though that's not the right name of it.
I do it too sometimes.
Yeah, just like it's just slipping out of your mouth. Anyways, Nick clued me into you guys like once he started to work with you and be like, hey, you know, check out this band, see what you think. And I was like, this is cool because, and I know that I'm not the first person to label you as such, but I was like, oh, this is like groovy hardcore.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. Like I got it immediately where it's like, okay, you're obviously not taking yourself very seriously, but the approach is serious. And, you know, you're kind of putting all this fun / serious stuff in a blender and that's what comes out. I'm going to guess that because of the style, like, yes, of course, you're a hardcore band and that's very obvious from your sonics. But then, you know, you're never going to be the heaviest band on the bill. You're never going to be the most poppiest band on the bill. You don't fit in anywhere. I mean, you do, but I'm being hyperbolic here. Is that a plus or a minus for you?
I think it's a plus. I'm sure some people hate it, but personally, we all really like it because we love mixed band bills. And like, I don't know, like if you're only listening to hardcore, I like as a whole, like that's the only music you listen to, I'm concerned for you. Like I can't, like if we like have a hardcore, like if I go to a hardcore show in Buffalo or like on tour, like 9 times out of 10, we are not listening to hardcore in the van, or I'm not listening to it on my way home. Like I need to listen to like pop or something. So I enjoy playing with bands that are outside the realm of hardcore. I love playing hardcore shows. Like that is my favorite type of show to play, but there are like pop punk bands and like indie bands that we've played with so many times. And like, it is awesome. Like we've played with Arms Length, which is a Midwest emo band. We played their record release show and it was one of my favorite shows we've ever played because their fans were so like into it. Like they were like, oh, we can stage dive for this. And they like just kept going the entire set. And it was the coolest thing ever. So like I'm pro playing non-hardcore shows. It's not something I hate. Like, in fact, I love it.
Right, right. And I do, to your point, the positive side is the fact that, yes, you can play with. And I'm going to be a nerd and correct you. I think Arms Length is from Toronto. Please correct
me if I'm
wrong.
They are, but like.
You
realm
the Sonics.
Yes. Yeah. Fair. They are from Toronto.
Okay. I thought I was going crazy for a second. I was like, wait a minute. I thought they were, and of course, me being the nerd that I am, where it's like, Lexi, I think they're from Toronto. Sorry.
No, you're correct. But they got the twinkly guitars, you know, like
sonically, they would fit right at home in Chicago and no one would blink an eye for sure.
Absolutely.
But yeah, to your point, the idea of being able to play with a wide variety of bands is obviously a plus because you can be, especially when you're playing with, you know, lighter bands, like any element of aggression, people are going to have a reaction to you. They're either going to love you or hate you. And obviously do that stage dive stuff where it's like, oh, wait, I'm allowed to do this. Like, this is cool.
Yeah. And like, we've even had shows where it's like, heavier like bands, like we played with like Gates to Hell like multiple times, and we would always end up being the like lightest band on the bill. And like no matter what, I'm always like, I hope these people like us, because if they don't, like I'm gonna have a horrible 15 to 20 minutes. But usually it's like a breath of fresh air for these people, because they're like, oh, I've just been listening to like the heaviest guitar riffs in the world, and now I'm like able to just like jump around and dance, which is awesome to me, because I'm the same way. Like, I love going to like heavier shows, like more on the metal side, but like if I can get like just a nice like touch of like lighter hardcore in it, it's perfect.
Right. It is. And I know that people always wear the rosy glasses and get nostalgic over the idea that, you know, it's like, yeah, hardcore bands and emo bands always used to play together in the 90s and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like mixed band bills still happen, but it's just obviously more of a, it's just easier for bands that, you know, are sounding alike to tour together, so that, mm-hmm. you know, your average 15 or 16 year old that's like, I only want to hear heavy stuff, like, it's, you know, it's just easier from a business side of things.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, the Military Gun tour that we have coming up, like, in my opinion, I feel like that is just like a perfect lineup, because Military Gun likes to like sit on the fence between hardcore and like indie pop, and then you have bands like Pool Kids and like Spiritual Cramp, which like are also in that vein where they could play with heavier bands if they want to, or they could play with lighter bands. So it's cool that like we get to join in on that.
Absolutely. It's the tweener tour.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah. Go ahead. Use it around.
Yeah, I will.
I know some biographical information. Were you actually born and raised in Buffalo, or did you grow up somewhere else?
I grew up closer to Rochester, so I'm from a very, very small farm town called Holly, New York, and it's, like, right next to Brockport, where, like, SUNY Brockport, the college is. So, like, a lot of the times I tell people, oh, I'm from Brockport, or, well, I'll start with Rochester, and they're like, oh, where in Rochester? I'm like, oh, I'm from, like, close to Brockport, and it's just, like, me getting to this, like, smaller circle, and, like, sometimes people will be like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that, or it's like, what? I've never heard of that place in my entire life. Like, we have one stoplight in the entire town.
Right. Yeah, you're like, there's no reason you would have heard of this unless you accidentally drove through.
Yes, like, there's definitely more cows than people in that town.
Right. Or, and, like, all those other, like, so many people, especially when they haven't traveled very much, just have this conception of New York as either being, you know, like the city, or just, you know, completely, like, upstate mountains. And it's like, there's mm-hmm. a lot in between there that is, you know, just really diverse.
Yeah, like there's also a lot of farms. Like, there's plenty of farms, especially in like Western New York. Like, there are dairy farms everywhere.
Right, right. And so you're, you know, growing up, what did your family structure look like? Do you have brothers and sisters, like mom and dad in the house? What does that shape up to
be? Yeah, I have my mom and my dad, and then I just have an older sister. She's 3.5 years older than me. And like, I'm very close with my family. They're awesome. They come to space shows when they can. Like, they came to the Better Lovers holiday show, 'cause I was like, guys, I want you to see me on this big stage, because it's probably not going to happen again for a while. And they're like, okay. And I knew that they would have like a cozy spot, like not near the pit. So I knew it would be safe for them, and they loved it. They think it's so cool. Like, they're super supportive and super awesome about space and like me going on tour a lot.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, I would imagine that would be difficult if they weren't, because, I mean, you would do it regardless, I'm guessing.
Because, oh, yeah.
Because that's kind of how, you know, us punk and hardcore kids are. It's like, whatever, parents, you're dumb. I'll do this I want. But that's cool that they, even though they probably instinctually don't understand the music, that they still were permissive enough for you to, you know, explore this weird subculture.
Yeah. They, like, I just graduated from getting my second degree in May.
Oh, hell yeah. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you. So my mom was just like, as long as you finish school, and like, because I went back for English education, she's like, as long as you go back, you finish school, and you like go and get your master's, and like you try to do like subbing on the side, like, I don't care what you do. And I was like, say less. So I sub when I'm home, and like I travel when I'm on the road.
That's really, it's funny, the long line of people that have found careers or jobs that do give you that mobility to, you know, like substitute teaching. Like, I know for the longest time, like Chris Carrabba, Dashboard Confessional, like that's what he did. And, you know, there's like a lot of people in punk and hardcore have gravitated towards that, because it's either the idea that, okay, I can just tour all summer, or I can just pop in when, you know, I'm home for whatever, 4 months or something like that.
Yeah. And like, honestly, it's so nice because, like, I like being in the school and, like, I like being with those students. I do like middle school and high school. So it's, like, really cool to, like, see them. And they're, like, some of them know about, like, space. So they're, like, they're with it. But it's nice that I can just be like, all right, I'm not going to be here for, like, 2 weeks. See ya. And then they, like, are like, where'd you go? And I'm like, I was on the road.
Right. You're like, don't worry. Your weirdo teacher was on the road with their weirdo band. So here mm-hmm. we go. Let's talk about English.
Yeah. When I was student teaching, the kids were like, are you in a tour bus? And I was like, you don't understand. I'm about to spend a week in a van with, like, four of my best friends. And it's probably going to be smelly at some point. Like, it's not glamorous at all.
Yeah. I'm in a traveling fart box. I don't know if you understand.
Literally.
And I do, there is something that I've been always interested in with the connection of, you know, education and punk and hardcore. I know not everybody gravitates towards that, but there is such an interesting link between the two because the idea of getting up in front of a classroom of students is, you know, very similar to getting up in front of a room of, you know, strangers that you're playing a show to. Have you, like, either observed that or made any sort of connections on, like, oh, yes, like, my job training makes it easier for me to play in a band or vice versa?
Oh, yeah, 100%. For, like, my final project before I graduated, we had to make, like, a teaching portfolio so that we could use it for interviews. And my professor was like, I want you to touch upon, like, being in a band and, like, the hardcore scene and, like, how it, like, ties into your teaching. And one of the, like, huge things I talked about was, like, crowd control and how, like, when you're on stage and you're in front of a group of a room of strangers, like, you need to make sure that you can, like, control them into, like, enjoying your set. And it's similar to, like, being in front of a classroom of eighth graders who are not interested in learning about the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass. And you're like, all right, guys, I got to make this interesting for you. So I find that to be super similar. And also just, like, how the hardcore community is, like, so strong. We talk about unity and, like, brotherhood and, like, being there for each other is the same as, like, creating a classroom community and, like, making sure that everybody in your classroom feels safe the same way that you try to make sure everybody at a local show feels safe.
Right. It's like the idea of, you know, meeting people where they're at. Like, mm-hmm. you have to present this information. I mean, not have to, but, like, that is an important piece of, you know, history or, like you said, tying it back into what you're teaching. But you have to know what is going to, you know, engage a majority of the classroom, which that's a skill in and of itself, just as, like, you know, a mosh call out is maybe a little bit easier to do because, you know, kids are maybe ready to mosh, but still you are controlling the room.
Yeah. And, like, I would argue, like, being in front of a classroom is much scarier than being in a room of strangers because, like, middle schoolers, they're ruthless in a way that I love and I enjoy them. But sometimes I'm like, oh my God, guys, like, you're staring at me like you think I have 10 heads right now.
Right. Yeah. You're like, I tried to make, like, two or three jokes to light the room and all of them landed flat. And what are we going to do here?
Yeah, like, even when I'm subbing, I, like, try to joke around with the kids and they just look at me and they're like, okay. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'll stop talking now.
Totally. It's like, whatever, old woman. And you're like, I'm not old, but I'm old to you.
Yeah, they'll just be like, I remember when I was student teaching, one of my students at my high school placement, I did ninth grade there. And I was talking about my age and he goes, how old are you? And I was like, well, how old do you think I am? He goes, I don't know, 40. And I was like, okay. And, like, my mentor teacher was in the back of the classroom just, like, in tears. And he was like, I don't even want to know how old do you think I am if you think that she's 40?
Right.
And I was like, dude, I'm 27.
Which is, and arguably, like, that I, you know, the difference between the ages of ninth grader and 27, like, that's, you know, a lot. Because mm-hmm. when you're 16 and you're watching, and I'm sure you had the same feeling, like, when you were watching bands for the first time and you feel like they're so much older than you, and then you come to, you know, whatever, play some shows with them and you're like, dude, you're 2 years older than me. I felt like you were like 10 or
yeah. Like,
you have no sense of how that calibrates in your brain.
Even now, like, when we tour with some bands and I find out that someone's younger than me, I'm like, oh, I'm an old head.
Yeah, you're like, I wasn't putting myself there, but thank you for reminding me, age, number.
Yeah, like there's, I booked a show last Friday in Buffalo, and this one local band, they're called Monomaniac. And like the singer is in college, but the rest of the band are all in high school. And like, one, they are awesome, like very talented group of kids. Two, they make me feel so old. I like will talk to them and they'll just like do like high schooler things. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I'm like, back in my day. And I'm like talking about like things like that to them. And I'm just like, ah, I'm an old head now.
Our friends at Rockabilia are back because not only do they love supporting the show, which I am eternally grateful, but they want to give you a discount on awesome band merch. Use this promo code 100 words or less. It gets you 10% off your entire order, which, you know, I mean, that's like free shipping plus a little bit of a kicker. But if you are looking for stuff for yourself, your friends, your family, you can find it at rockabilia.com because, you know, if you're like, yo, I love Bob Marley because I just recently saw that biopic and man, I got to get a Bob Marley shirt for myself. Boom. They got you. Grateful Dead stuff. Sure. Bring Me the Horizon. Absolutely. Kiss, Iron Maiden. The list goes on. The reason I name all of those disparate bands is for one, you can find so much stuff there. It is all officially licensed. So that means the bands get paid on this. None of this horrific, horrific bootleg stuff. This is just a really, really nice resource for you to solve a lot of your gift-giving problems or just, you know, buying a lot of cool merch for yourself. They ship it from the Midwest here in the United States of America, located in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. I actually want to go visit their headquarters one day, so maybe I'll make that happen someday. But yeah, just love the company, love what they do. Like I said, officially licensed merch shipped straight to your door and amazing customer service if you run into any issues, which, you know, I've ordered from them before, never have. Spectacular company. So rockabilia.com, 100, that's the number 100 words or less. It gets you 10% off of your entire order. So go shopping and enjoy. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different things that stress us out, right? Like maybe it's something really, really small, like, man, that parking space, it's always taken. And I wish that I would be able to like get it instead of, you know, this person that maybe, you know, is the most courteous and considerate. I know that's something very random, but it's true. We all experience different things throughout the day that trigger us in so many different ways. And there are many times where I have been like, I wish that I had a spot or a repository for me to, you know, get this stuff off of my chest. Because if you bottle it up, that is no bueno. And then all of a sudden you explode on a coworker or a friend or a family member being like, the parking spot. And people are like, what are you talking about? That is where therapy comes in. And I love working with BetterHelp because I'm a huge advocate for therapy, broadly speaking. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It is so easy because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you are not vibing with the therapist for any reason, you can switch it out at no additional charge. Get things off of your chest with BetterHelp. So visit betterhelp.com/Ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Ray. Pulling, you know, back and looking at like who you were as a kid, as far as, you know, growing up and like, you know, were you an outdoor kid? Were you attracted to sports? Were you reading a lot of books? Was it, you know, a little bit of everything? What did you, you know, find yourself being?
So I did sports all throughout high school and like all throughout my life until college, basically. So like in the summer I would do travel soccer, but if I had the opportunity to just like sit inside and play my Nintendo DS or like my Game Boy, I would be doing that. Like, my parents called me a zipperhead. I don't know what that means, but they always meant like I was just had my face in like whatever gaming device I was playing. So like, and they, to this day, my parents would be like, you look really pale. Have you gone outside? And I'm like, yes, I have. I just am pale. Like, sorry. And they're like, are you sure you haven't just like stayed inside and like played video games all day? And I'm like, no, I bring my Switch outside.
Yeah. You're like, I get my vitamin D. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm old now, like, I need the vitamin D, but, like, I'm still gonna go outside and play my Switch. Like, get with it.
Right. You're like, I am accomplishing both things at once, and leave me alone.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. And did you, were you always attracted to the idea of teaching? Like, what was the, you know, thing that pulled you in that general direction?
I feel like a lot of people, like, growing up, so my mom was an elementary school art teacher, so I was always around teachers. Like, she would have her teacher friends over, so I would see them a lot. And, like, I remember, I want to say, like, freshman and sophomore years, like, when you start to think about, like, what you want to do when you're in college. And I was, like, I would always think about being a teacher, but I never knew, like, what subject I would want to do. And when I graduated, I actually went to school for audio radio production because I wanted to, like, work in radio, which never ended up happening because, unfortunately, it's a dying industry. And, like, I applied to a radio station in Buffalo at least 15 times and never heard back. And I was like, you know what? That's enough for me to try something else.
Take a hint. And, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I just ended up working an office job in Buffalo, which was fine for the time being, but I knew I didn't want to be there. And I was like contemplating on going back to like school for my master's and trying to get something in that. And then the pandemic happened. So I was just like stuck at home, like doing my office job just in my bedroom, like never leaving my bedroom. And I was like, this is super depressing. I need to figure something out. And I remember, I think I was with my sister and my roommate because we did like a little staycation somewhere like in Saratoga in New York. We just like rented an Airbnb with a pool and just like hung out by a pool for a week. And I was just like telling them about my existential crisis. I was like, guys, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I was saying, I kind of looked at teaching, but I don't know what I want to do with that. And my sister was like, you would be a good teacher. And I was like, do you think so? And so my sister and my roommate started like hyping me up. And then I was like, I don't know what subject I would do. I was like, I kind of like English. I've been reading a lot of books lately. My sister's like, yeah, you should do English. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go back to school for English education. And then when I got home from that, I applied at Buffalo State University. And I emailed the head of the English education department. And I was like, hi, can I talk to you? I just want to make sure that this is something I want to do. And she was awesome. I loved it. I applied as soon as I got off of the Zoom with her. And then I talked to a different professor there and got accepted. And I was like, yep, this is exactly what I want to do.
Right. Just fell in really quickly with that initial push. I love that idea of just be like putting it out there and not really understanding why you get pulled in that direction, besides your friends obviously saying that they could see that for you. And then you're just like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll try this out. Like, better than what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. And I like told myself if I didn't like it, I would just switch my major and figure something else out. But I knew as soon as I was done with my first semester, I was like, I really like this and I really enjoy this. And then when I was like in a classroom for the first time, I was like, yep, I want to do this.
Right. This is a fit. Talk to me more about the radio attraction, because I mean, like you said, it's a medium that is still, you know, large, but definitely dwindling. The idea that someone under the age of, you know, 35 would be attracted to radio is kind of a funny conceit. Just like, So like how did the, you know, love for the audio medium get pulled into you?
This is going to show how spontaneous I really am. So I originally was going to go to school for psychology. And then my high school chorus director, I was like talking to her about that. And she's like, do you really want to be a psychologist? Like, that's pretty tough on like your mental health. And I was like, I don't know, like maybe. And then she was like, I think you have a really good like voice, like talking voice. What if you like looked into radio? And she went to the school that I ended up going to after high school. She was like, I think there's a program there for it. And I was like, oh my God, I should do that. And so I switched my major before I even went to school there. And
wow.
Yeah. Impulsive.
Okay. Impulsive nature? I guess this has always been kind of you. Like, does this apply to other aspects of your life besides like career trajectories, as it were?
Yes. Like a lot of the time I am very impulsive, but like now I've gotten better at like making the decision that's right instead of just like saying yes to something. Mostly my impulsive decisions are like I'm coming home from work and I'm like, I really need a sweet treat, and then I'll just like stop somewhere and get like a cookie. Like that's my impulsive decision now. Now I actually like think about like life-changing decisions. But
right.
Yeah.
A little more measured now. Okay.
For for radio, and I did the radio station at Fredonia where I went to school, and I loved it, which is really cool because I just finished reading American Hardcore Tribal History by Stephen Blush. Mm-hmm. And it talks, like, there's a section about, like, college radio and how that was so impactful for hardcore in the beginning. And I was, like, thinking about it. I was like, you know what? That is pretty true. Like, I was just, like, playing whatever music I wanted to hear. And I didn't care about what anybody else wanted to listen to on my radio shows. And, like, granted, maybe, like, one or two people were listening. But, like, that's enough for me to, like, be like, hey, I'm going to punish you with my music taste now.
Right. But
it was super cool. Like, I ended up getting into the local music scene there because of it. And, like, I did a radio show called The Local Lowdown, where, like, we would have bands from Buffalo come on for interviews. And, like, sometimes they would play acoustic sets, too. And, like, it would coincide with shows that were happening at this bar in downtown Fredonia, where they would do the radio show, and then they would go immediately there to load in for a show that night.
Amazing. That's cool. And you hit the nail on the head in regards to the only way that you could play music that was left of center at any point was obviously via college radio. Like, maybe it would bubble up to a cool alternative, you know, nationally syndicated or broadcasted show, but it would be at like midnight or something like that. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, there was no, you know, no rules besides, you know, what the college mandated. But for the most part, it was like, all right, you're going to have the punk hour. You're going to have the Grateful Dead hour. Like, mm-hmm. whatever it is, like, just make it work.
I was like, you are giving me an hour and I could play Every Time I Die and no one can tell me not to. Absolutely.
Yes. that sounds great. And so was the idea that you wanted to work at, you know, your local, whatever, iHeart or Sinclair broadcast station, as it were?
Yeah, I ended up doing, like, there was like an e-board, which was the like president, the like vice president, blah, 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 blah. But I was the music director of the station. So for a whole year, I was in charge of the mail that was sent into the radio station. And like, I would have assistants that we would just listen to like 5 CDs a week and say whether we like them or not, and then decide whether we should put them on the radio or not. And I loved that because it was cool to see all these different bands, and like some of them I still listen to today. And I was like, this is a really cool job. This is something I would want to do. So I wanted to be a music director at a radio station. But that's a kind of hard job to get to because there's only one music director at one radio station.
Yeah, no, it's very hard. And plus, too, I mean, the shrinking autonomy of a music director at a radio station, it's like, yeah. You know, I mean, it's so difficult because, you know, 80 to 90% of what you're supposed to play is dictated by, you know, AI or obviously like 700 other people.
Yeah. And like now with TikTok, we're like, a song will just go viral and it's like, all right, that's good enough to put on the radio, which like is cool. Like, I think that that's very cool. And that's something that like this generation is like discovering music through that. But that does kick out that job that I wanted to do. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. So now you're having to work it in the, you know, back door, so to speak, by like, you know what, I'm going to play in a band and then we're going to get played on college radio. And then that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure that there is one college student somewhere playing space. And you know what? I'm thankful for them.
Exactly. I love it. And I know you've articulated in other places as far as your introduction to punk and hardcore was, you know, or one of your earlier show experiences was the, you know, Tid the Holidays show.
Yeah.
That, yeah, still happens, obviously, in a different namesake now. But when you went to that show, like you were going to see like a local band initially, but then obviously stayed for the whole show and was kind of bowled over by the experience. What kind of grabbed you about, you know, seeing either Every Time I Die in particular or just that whole show that kind of really captured you to dive down the rabbit hole?
So I wanted to go because this band Bungler was playing that is a local band that I really like. And my boyfriend, Dan, who's the drummer of Spaced, he had been going to like Every Time I Die Christmas shows for a few years at that point. So he was like, oh, you're going to love it. It's really cool. And he was like, you're going to like walk out of there and be like, that was the craziest thing I've ever experienced. And I remember they started, I don't even know what song they started with. I think it was right after Low Teens. So okay. Whatever, like, the first song is on that album they played. And it was just, like, insane energy in the room. Like, everybody just went crazy. And I was just like, what is this? And why am I loving it? And, like, I just stood in awe in the back, just, like, watching all these people, like, mosh and just, like, stage dive. And, like, it was the coolest experience. And, like, that was before Kid This Season was moved to Riverworks, which is, like, a 5,000 cap venue. So this was at this old venue called The Waiting Room. And it was, like, a 500 cap venue. So, like, imagine seeing Every Time I Die in a 500 cap room. Crazy.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, I had the luxury at one point in my life to I toured with Every Time I Die, like, during the Last Night in Town era, and then, you know, we were just playing, you know, whatever 150 cap VFW halls and stuff, because that was obviously the very, very early days. But there's something about seeing a band in a space that is obviously meant to house a band of that size, but then you do feel like you're watching something, you know, clearly secret and special. Like, it's not, you're like, not everybody sees this. Like, I'm going to remember this in some capacity.
Yeah. Cause, like, then the prior year was when Tid the Season started. Cause it used to be called Shit Miss. And then it turned to Tid the Season and became, like, this huge thing. And, like, that was really, really cool too. Cause, like, it became this, like, mini fest of sorts. And then, like, the production was so awesome. Like, they had, like, all this, like, cool stuff added into their show. But just, like, seeing a band with the energy that Every Time I Die had in a small room is just, like, you can't get that anywhere else from, like, any band, honestly.
Yeah, that's so, so cool. And so I imagine that you basically just started to try to consume as much, you know, whatever hardcore / Warped Tour adjacent stuff as possible once you really, you know, were captured by that energy.
Absolutely. Like, I think I went home and I just, like, started looking at, like, the Spotify, like, listeners also listen to this. And I would just, like, start listening to it. And I don't think anything really clicked for me. Or wait, no, Knocked Loose had already released Laugh Tracks by the time I went to that. So I started to listen to Knocked Loose more, because I think E-Tid, like, started bringing them out on tour, like, immediately after that. And because of, like, Knocked Loose, I started listening to Jesus Piece, and then I started listening to Terror, and then, like, all of these other bands. And it was just, like, this, like, trickle down of, like, bands that I really enjoyed, and it truly changed my life. And it's just, like, so cool to, like, think about that, like, one show in a small room can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It really, especially too, because now you look at the, you know, history of punk and hardcore, and, like, now that it's had time to gestate and grow over these past 40 or 50 years, now you're seeing, like, the generational impact, where it's like, you know, parents are taking their kids to shows, and then their kids are, it's just like, wow, like, how much can spiral out from, like you said, just those small rooms.
Yeah. And, like, it's really cool, like, how you mentioned about, like, parents bringing their kids to shows. Like, recently in Buffalo, we've had this influx of, like, young kids coming to shows because their parents are bringing them. And I think that's the coolest thing. And, like, even, like, at a space show, like, I'll have just, like, and, like, a middle-aged dude come up to me, he'll be like, yo, my daughter loves you. Like, she loves space. And I'm like, you know what? This is why I'm doing this, for the young girls who, like, are like, I can do this too. Cause that's, like, the coolest feeling ever. And, like, I remember seeing, like, Paramore on MTV in the morning, like, music videos. And I was like, oh my God, a girl, like, singing and, like, dancing like that? I can do that. So it's, like, it's kind of cool to just, like, be that inspiration for, like, young girls like that.
Absolutely. It's very, yeah, I mean, not only is it empowering, but it just gives you, it starts to give you that feeling like, oh, I can do other things that aren't, you know, typical, or there isn't just one path forward. It's like, oh, I can do this other thing that maybe my friends won't understand, but there is a community that's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, it's just really cool because, like, my dad, like, the reason I started to, like, listen to quote-unquote heavier music was, like, a radio station that my dad used to play in the car when he would, like, take me to and from school. And it's just cool to see like these parents show their kids like hardcore, because like while my dad wasn't able to do that, I wish that he could have, just because it was something so interesting. But now I'm able to show him hardcore, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it is like, it's cool to see that these parents are like passing down like records to their kids.
If you like anything heavy slash artistic slash just awesome, you need to go to evilgreed.net and order merch, vinyl, all of the things you could possibly want from a wide variety of bands, but bands that have a very specific point of view, and record labels, where it's not just like the doors are cast wide open and like every band that wants to have a, you know, web store and record label store, just here we go, Evil Greed. No, they have a very specific point of view. Let me just list some of the bands that they work with, whether it's One Step Closer or whether it's Magnitude, Quicksand, Soft Kill, Fucked Up. Like, they just have so much cool stuff. And they work with labels like, you know, Triple B, Sergeant House. And I just love what Evil Greed does. It ships from Berlin, Germany. But let me tell you that the shipping rates to us here in the United States are very advantageous to us. So that means if you order from them, not only will you get it very fast, but it's not going to be some absolutely astronomical price where it's like, oh my gosh, like am I spending more on shipping than I am the order? The answer is no. They are such a great company. They have, I don't know, it's like 40, 50 employees. They're just really booming over there in Berlin, Germany. I've met them, hung out with them. I can't endorse them more highly. Like, I literally feel like a extension of an employee with them. But evilgreed.net, go shopping to your heart's content, and you will be able to find everything that you're looking for. I pre-order stuff from them all the time, so you should as well. evilgreed.net, check out what they have to offer.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Again, you've spoken about this in other interviews in regards to, you know, you were a theater kid doing high school musicals and stuff like that. And there's one specific question about that. Like, what was your, I guess, favorite thing to perform? Whether it was like, oh, man, I love doing Oklahoma or, you know, My Fair Lady or whatever. Like, was there a, you know, a performance or two that you were like, you know what, that was my most favorite moment on stage with the, you know, musical era of my life?
My junior year, we did Tarzan. And we were the second high school in the entire country to do it, because it had like just come off of Broadway like a year before. And like the production for it was like insane. Like, we literally built like a giant jungle gym on stage to use. And I was cast as Turk, which for those who aren't familiar with Tarzan is the gorilla that's like Tarzan's best friend. And it was so much fun. I had to scat. It was so awesome.
I love, that's so cool, especially that wrinkle of the idea that not every school had done its like 175th performance of, you know, The Wizard of Oz or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. Dude, this is a hot property off Broadway. Like, let's see what this looks like.
Yeah. And like, it was so much fun. Like, and the soundtrack for the musical is so awesome because it's written by Phil Collins.
Yep.
So like, arguably Tarzan, like, the movie has some of the, like, is the best Disney soundtrack. So just think that with like a couple more songs in it that are written by Phil Collins, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah. It's, I mean, a lot of people don't reference it. They obviously go to the, you know, classics, your whatever, Beauty and the Beast and stuff like that, which still are obviously very good. You know, mm-hmm. Alan Menken clearly knows how to write a tune. But when you come at it from the, you know, rock perspective, it's like, oh, this is, you know, this is slept on.
Yes. And it's so catchy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I know Spaced, obviously, from a, you know, formation perspective, all people are like, oh, it's a band that formed in pandemic and blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
That's fine. That's cool. I'm glad we covered that. But the, you know, the idea that once you started to play shows and receive attention, because there's definitely a different level of attention if you're a singer for a band that, you know, other people in the band don't get. Like, you know, I'm sure your significant other is a drummer. It's like, you know, no one ever pays attention to the drummer, nor the bass player. No shots against them, but, you know, that's just joking wise. But,
yeah.
How did you start to, I guess, kind of receive that attention, even if it's on obviously a smaller scale? I'm sure it was flattering, but then I'm sure there were times you had to kind of navigate like, oh, this person's kind of, you know, a punisher. Like, I don't really want to be in this conversation anymore.
Yeah. The attention is like always super cool. Like, especially when we just released Landslide, like, I don't think I saw any negative comments on anything for like a few days because it was just so overwhelmingly positive until like the like online trolls started to like come out of their hole and like discover that someone, not a man, is fronting a band. But that's besides the point. But yeah, like I love talking to anybody who listens to Spaced and like comes to our shows. And there are punishers, but like at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? I can find something good that I talked about in that situation. Because it's usually like they're just excited and like they're trying not to be weird. So I'm like, okay, it's not your fault. Like you're just excited about something. So like, I think I can only count on like one hand that I've had like really awkward conversations. And it's usually just been like some random person at a show being like, oh, are you the merch girl? And I'm like, no, bitch, I'm about to go perform on stage. Like, you're about to learn in 10 minutes that I'm not just the merch girl. But a lot of the times it's just people being like, I love Spaced. And I'm like, that's so sick. Thank you.
Right. You're like, that's great. I love to see that.
Yeah. Although I will say when we're in Europe, like when the language barrier comes up, when we played a festival in the Czech Republic this past summer with Buggin, and from the stage to like the green room was maybe like 100 yards, and from like the stage to the green room I got stopped by like 30 people for selfies, which is, I was like, okay, like, that's cool, but like they weren't speaking any English. They would just go selfie, and I'm like, okay, yes. And I was like, at one point, I was like, I just want to go, like, lay down. Like, I just ran around on stage for 20 minutes. Can I please just go lay down?
Right. And especially, it's like, you could not communicate that. It was just like, yes.
Yeah. I would just, like, put my little peace sign up and smile and be like, thank you. Bye.
Right. Or you can, you know, I'm sure you'll experience this at some point, the German compliment of...
I've gotten them already.
Perfect. I love to hear that. Oh, yes. Spaced, you were good when you put that new record out. What happened to the you were good when you put the first record out. The new one, not so good.
I know. I'm like, we inevitably go back to Europe. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I love going to Europe. But like when we do eventually go back, I'm curious how people will react to the album over there. But I have gotten the, you scream so loud for a girl. And I'm like, yes, I do. And I'm like, I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the time, I love Germany. Like, honestly, I love the Germans. I do. But I have gotten a couple German compliments.
Yes, they definitely, you know, just cut right to the heart of the matter. And like, that's, that obviously is what makes that country and the people that reside in it special.
Yeah.
So as, you know, as you started to, you know, gain some notoriety and obviously play outside of, you know, Buffalo and start to, you know, wave that flag and everything like that, you know, when you started to have to make, and I use this in air quotes, but just like, you know, business decisions where it's like, oh, okay, like, you know, we got paid $150 for this show or whatever. And you started to interact with that side of the music industry, as it were. You know, are you the one kind of responsible in the band for doing that? Like, is it, you know, do you enjoy that aspect? Where's your head at?
Thankfully, our one guitarist, Joe, is extremely responsible. So, like, he's the money man. And I, like, most of the time at, like, the merch table, I'll have, like, my Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal, like, QR code out. So it'll just, like, go to me. But he's always the one that's like, all right, I'm booking the hotel tonight. Or, like, we have a UK tour coming up. He'll be like, okay, Lexi, like, can you pay this person for the van rental? And, like, he's always, like, in charge of the money and, like, making sure at the end of the day, like, he knows what the total is in our band fund to, like, make sure that we're staying afloat. And I appreciate him for that because I would simply disintegrate into thin air. That is just too much responsibility for me.
Right. Well, it's good. It's good that not only you have that person in the band, but that it wasn't, you know, foisted upon you as being the vocalist where it's just like, oh, by default, you know, Lexi's out there and she's going to settle the show or whatever. She's going to do this. And you're like, I am not equipped to handle any of this.
Yeah. I mean, like, there are days where, like, I'll settle with someone or, like, Joe will settle or, like, our bassist, John, will settle. Like, we're all comfortable with, like, handling money and, like, talks like that. But if it comes down to, like, the tax forms that you have to fill out at, like, specific venues, I'm like, Joe, get in there.
Right. You're like, listen, I can't sign a W-9. I don't know what even that means. Like,
literally, I'm like, I got handed a W-9, like, on one of our last tours, and I just, like, stared at it. And I was like, where do I sign?
Right. Do I put my social security number or, like, who else's? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what is this?
Right. Right. When you actually started to, you know, go on your first tours and everything like that, I presume Spaced is your first time you've ever spent an extended amount of time on the road, right?
Yeah, it's my first band.
That's what I thought. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, oh, no, that's what I thought. Yeah. So was tour, I guess, what you expected? Was it drastically different than what you expected? What was your perception?
I was thinking about this earlier. Like, I don't think I ever really felt, like, shell-shocked by, like, the touring lifestyle. And I don't know if that's just because I knew so many people who did tour before and, like, had heard stories about what it's like, or if I just, like, for some reason am comfortable immediately with that type of situation. But, like, when we did our first, like, out-of-town run, I was, like, completely prepared to be sleeping on random people's floors. Like, I wasn't, like, scared about that. Like, I remember when we did our first, like, weekend run, my mom was like, I'm going to bring you to Walmart. I'm going to get you a nice sleeping bag and, like a mattress pad type of thing to bring with you. She's like, I want you to sleep comfortably on tour. So, like, I had, like, a very cozy sleeping bag situation ready for me. And, like, it just was never really weird for me. I mean, we've had our fair shares of sleeping in, like, very random and, like, maybe not the most pleasant places, but most of the time we just, like, stay at friends' houses and it's, like, very comfortable and, like, I don't feel awkward, like, getting up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom there.
Right. Yeah, you're like, we're at a spot that, you know, is either comfortable, we know the person, it isn't, you know, being brought to, you know, the third story of an abandoned building or whatever. It's like, oh no, you can stay here, it's fine. It's like, no, this doesn't feel safe.
Yeah. Like, when we were in Europe this past summer, we played in Switzerland, and the venue was in an old, like, jail, and we were sleeping there that night. And, like, the idea of sleeping in an old jail didn't freak me out, but I did go to open the windows at one point and just saw, like, the largest spiders I had ever seen in my entire life just, like, in the window and, like, had access to come inside. So I immediately shut it and I was like, oh my God. And, like, it took me, like, 2 hours to fall asleep because all I could think about was, like, what if there's just a spider crawling on me? So, like, those situations, not great. But that's, like, one out of, like, however many times we've, like, slept somewhere.
Of course. Well, and there's obviously some ridiculous statistic of, you know, humans swallow like 14 spiders in their lifetime or something. So it can happen at home. It can happen in a jail in Switzerland. You never know.
Yep, exactly. And I was not trying to test it out that night.
Right. Yeah, you're like, you know what? This is in my brain. I can't unsee this. So this is what we have to do.
Yeah. Ugh.
And speaking of the touring internationally, that's also, you know, a very different experience than touring the States. Comparing and contrasting the two, what was the most different thing that you experienced with those two?
Accommodation is like a normal thing in Europe and the UK. Like, that is something our agent Matthew, shout out to him, he's the best, like, make sure that we get most of the time. And they'll like make you dinner when you get to the venue and like feed you and like want to make sure that you feel comfortable and safe the entire time, which is great. I love it. And like, I love the US. Don't get me wrong. I love all my friends here in like the hardcore scene, but we don't get that here. Like, we'll just get like a case of waters, which is fine. I love a case of water, but it is cool to like go over there and someone's making you goulash.
Yeah. Here's your vegan stew.
Yes. Oh my God. I love the vegan stew over there. It does get tiring after like the 10th time in a row, but like,
of course. Right.
It's still like, it fills me up. It's vegan. It's great. I'm here for it.
Yeah, they got it down to a science. They know that it's like, all right, this is going to fill 5 bellies and this will last for 3 weeks. So we're good.
It's probably so cheap to make too. I don't blame them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now that you're at this, you know, interesting juncture of the band where, you know, obviously you've signed to Revelation Records and like you guys are, you know, doing even more stuff than you previously have. And now you have to start, you know, thinking about like, oh, this is what my life is going to look like 6 to 8 months out. Whereas like prior to that, you didn't really have to do that. Is it, is it exciting, daunting, scary, a combination of all of them?
It's definitely a combination because like I am very excited like for the album to come out. But it's also like, is it like there is just like I have a very good feeling it's going to do well because the single had a really good reaction and like I just. I'm very confident in that, but there's also just this like voice in the back of my head that's like, no one's gonna like it. I'm like, so
sure.
I am nervous, but very excited. And like, I think that a lot of really cool things are going to come from it, but there's also like this voice in the back of my head that's like, or nothing's gonna happen and you're just gonna have to like deal with it.
Right.
But for right now, it's looking very good.
Right, right. And plus, like, the idea of, you know, whatever, the hardcore scene, and I'll use that in air quotes, like, broadly accepting or, you know, denying Space's latest offering. It's like, you're going to do what you're going to do. And, like, maybe, you know, the largest opportunities aren't going to come to you. But it's like, who knows what that's going to look like in, you know, 2 years with other music because people, you know, are either slow to the uptake and they're like, you know, in 10 years, they'll be like, that's the, you know, that second Spaced LP on Rev, like everybody loves it. And you're like, no, they didn't. Like no one cared about us at the time or whatever.
I know.
It's like, you never know.
Like I hear about like Twitching Tongues and how they were treated like back when they first started. And now all of a sudden they're having this huge renaissance where everybody loves them. And like, I've always liked Twitching Tongues. I just want to put that out there. So like that is a bit scary to think about, but also kind of cool because like if it does flop and then in like 2 years someone's like, I love Space and we have this random resurgence and we can do like a reunion, awesome. But I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. I hope that it's just like we're doing well up until then.
Right, right. Yeah. You don't have to be clear, you don't have to break up. I mean, obviously there's a joke in there where it's like, oh, you got to break up before anyone cares about you. But, you know, that you don't need to do that. It's okay. Just continue to put out music.
Yes, for sure. I mean, if anything, if this one doesn't do well, it's just going to like light a flame under us and make us want to do even better.
Sure. Absolutely. The last thing, but questionably the most important thing is, I mean, obviously you're a huge fan of, you know, K-pop and anime, and like there'd be no interview that should ever not bring that up because I think that's in your written contract. But the, you know, so you're, we'll focus on the anime first and then obviously you can espouse your love for K-pop second. I know they kind of both go hand in hand, but, your favorite anime from a film perspective. And there's only two right answers, and that's Ninja Scroll and Mermaid Scar. But you can talk about others. That's fine.
I've actually never heard of those. So I will put that down on
those
a list.
Those are, to be clear, that's like, you know, old head, like, you know, Ghost in the Shell, like era. Yeah. So this is like, this isn't stuff that came out in the past 5 years. But anyways, yes. But tell me about your, I mean, how did you get involved in anime in general in the first place?
I mean, like when I grew up, like I was just watching Toonami on like Cartoon Network and like Pokemon. I loved Pokemon. I still do. But like,
yeah,
it's so funny because when like the original Pokemon like first series like season came out on Netflix, I was like, oh, I'm gonna like watch this start to finish just in case I missed anything. And I was like, I've seen every episode of this and I did not realize it. Even as like a child, I somehow was like able to keep up with every episode. So like I loved Pokemon when I was younger, Yu-Gi-Oh, Digimon. And like I have like very vivid memories of like waking up and my mom putting like my TV on in my room to like help me get up in the morning, and like Naruto or One Piece would be playing, but I never like watched them. I would just be like, oh, there's that show again. And so I didn't really care about anime that much after like getting into high school. And then my freshman year, when I first went to college, my sweet mate, her and like a couple other of my sweet mates were talking about like this anime series called Attack on Titan. And they were like, Lexi, you need to watch it. And I was like, do I? Like, I don't know. Like, I've never really watched anime outside of like when I was a kid. And they're like, no, you got to watch it and tell us your reaction to every episode. And so I watched the first season and I remember when I finished it, I like just slammed my door shut and like walked out into the hallway. And I was like, guys, we need to talk.
I love that. I love that, especially the assignment from your friends of saying after every episode, I want to talk like, not like let's do the first season. Let's talk about it all.
Cause like not to spoil it, but there is one moment in like the first season of Attack on Titan where you just like assume the main character dies, which is like insane. Yeah. So they really wanted my reaction to that. So
beautiful.
Attack on Titan, but then didn't watch any other anime until I graduated from college at Fredonia. And I remember I went home and I'm like, I'm living in my parents' house. I had just come back from like 4 years of college and like living on my own. So I was like in this weird like state of mind where I was like, I don't know what to do with my life. I have so much time on my hands. And I was like, you know, maybe I should get back into Attack on Titan. Because at that point, like I think season 2 and 3 had come out. So I watched those, but like for some reason it didn't like stick in my brain that well. And then I was like, I think I'm going to start watching more anime. And then I watched Naruto and I finished it in 2 months, which like if anybody's listening who doesn't know like how long Naruto is, it's like 700 episodes. And I watched the filler. I watched all the filler episodes.
You're like, I got the full assignment. I'm watching top to bottom.
Yeah, I loved it. And it's so funny because like I have so many critiques of the series and like everything, but it is still to this day my favorite anime. And like I eventually went back and rewatched Attack on Titan, and like that's my also like tied for number one. But like those are like my two favorites. I also love Chainsaw Man.
Got it. Yes, yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. And yes, then the K-pop stand-up I know came around the pandemic, and obviously the connective tissue that happens between anime and K-pop is, you know, it's there and it's real. But do you feel like your love for anime made it easier for you to, you know, kind of jump into the K-pop fandom head first, or two separate things?
I definitely think so, because like a lot of K-pop artists will do like the opening songs for animes, and that's kind of
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, so like I think this one K-pop group called Tomorrow X Together, I think they did the opening for Haikyuu, which is like a very popular like volleyball anime. And there's definitely more that I can't think of right now, but that was how I discovered K-pop. And like I started listening to BTS a bit. And then like I started to fall more in love with like other groups. And it just became this thing where I was like, I'm trying not to get into K-pop. Like, I'm trying to be casual about it. Then next thing you know, I was, like, going to Target every week, buying a new album and, like, putting the photo cards that come in the albums in my phone case, and like all I could think about was K-pop, and like I would go home and watch K-pop music videos, and I was like, oh, I'm not casual about it anymore. Like, this is my life.
Right. Yeah. You're like, you know what? I really don't care about it that much, except I spend like 10 hours a day, like thinking about it and or doing research about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like K-pop concerts are so fun. Like, there is nothing like it.
It seems very, I mean, I am not immersed in the culture, but it seems like a very, not only inclusive, but just like, it just expressing fandom in the most like truest of senses.
Yes. I went, my first K-pop concert I went and saw this group Seventeen, and they played in Toronto. And I went by myself because I had no one else to go with. And I was like, you know what? I'm only going because I really want to see this group. And I ended up making like friends with the girl who was sitting next to me. So like I had a blast. Me and her were like hanging out the whole time. And I remember like I never get like quote unquote post-concert depression. The only time I ever really got it was when I saw One Direction in high school. And like I was just in my peak One Direction phase. And when I got home from that concert, I was genuinely so sad. I was like, oh my God, when am I going to see them again? When am I going to experience fun again?
I love that articulation of just like, when is this going to, like, how come this can't happen right now? Because I'm feeling a lack of joy.
Yeah. I was like, do I need to like find where they're going next and like drop everything? I didn't. But it is such a fun experience. And like the best thing I can compare it to is like Taylor Swift and like the Eras Tour, and like how everybody like made it this huge thing to like dress up as like a specific era. And like, she has like these light up bracelets that like go off with the beat of the song. And like, that comes from K-pop because there's like these things called light sticks that like different groups have, and they light up with the songs that they're playing. And like, fans will choose like a specific like era, quote unquote, or like a music video and like a member that they like and dress up like them. So like a lot of what Taylor Swift is doing is actually started from K-pop. I love Taylor, but like,
yeah, right. We're all standing on the shoulders of giants. You just need to be able to trace back to where these things actually originated from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Lexi, thank you for hanging out for me, or hanging out with me, not for me, but just hanging out for me. But I appreciate you coming on here. This was enjoyable.
Yeah, thank you. You asked some fun questions that I don't really get to talk about on these things.
I guess that was a lot of fun. Lexi was a great hang, and just, you know, I love it when people show up on time. The internet doesn't bother us. You know, there's no weird latency or anything. Like, we just have a nice tried and true conversation, and honestly, for the most part, that happens very frequently on the show. But Lexi's convo was exactly that. So thank you very much to Lexi, and shout out to Alexa, the publicist of the Hardcore Stars. I am just calling her that right now, but she always brings me great ideas, and I was like, yes, I would love to talk to Lexi for the podcast. So way to go, people doing their jobs and being in good bands. Love to see it. Next week is another person in another good band that I am not only friends with, but just worship at the altar, that is known as Code 7. And I had Jeff Jenkins, the vocalist of the band, on. I've known him forever. Toured, played shows together. Every time Code 7 releases new music, I am first in line to listen to it and then just absolutely rinse that record, whatever it is that they're putting out. I've loved every iteration of them, from their early, you know, metalcore days to the unbelievably hooky and catchy sort of space rock stuff that they're doing now. I love the band so much. So anyways, Jeff was kind enough to come on the show, and we had a great, great conversation. So that's what we got next week. Until then, please be safe, everybody. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.